Today's readings were actually the very first stories I'd ever heard in church. When I was very young, my father decided to re-engage with his faith by accompanying my grandmother to Sunday services. When I was about 5, he invited me to join them. That first time I sat in the pews, everything seemed so new and so strange, but so wonderful. What stood out to me the most, though, were these stories. I was fascinated by the radical answer of the prophet and the disciples. Samuel doesn't even know about God, and yet he's eager to follow Eli's instructions to receive a call to a life of prophecy. Jesus calls to Philip, "Follow me," and Philip drops everything to follow him. Every time I've heard these readings since I was a child, I've yearned for this kind of certainty and faith, and I've tried to imagine myself making the same decision, to drop everything and to follow God. When I sat down with the readings this week, though, something else stood out to me. Yes, the prophet and the disciples make radical decisions to follow God, but the main focus of the stories is the dramatic tension that unfolds when they don't fully understand God's call at first. In the first reading, Samuel is not yet familiar with God, but God's call is not initially disorienting or earth-shattering to him. In fact, it seems so familiar, perhaps even so mundane, that he assumes that Eli is calling to him. Only through Eli's guidance can Samuel realize that the call is from God, and can he respond, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The focus of the gospel reading is not so much Philip, who I was so impressed with as a 5-year-old, as it is his friend Nathanael. Philip is filled with excitement about his new mission with Jesus, and he can't help but share the good news with his friend. Unlike the young Samuel, Nathanael is someone we'd think of as a seasoned and devout believer. He's a virtuous person in whom there is no deceit. Jesus explains that he has seen Nathanael under the fig tree, where he probably would have regularly snuck away for deep prayer. Nathanael is a person of faith who has likely spent many years wondering about and waiting for and imagining the Messiah and his arrival. When Philip comes to him with news about Jesus, Nathanael doubts that the Messiah could come from a small, secluded place like Nazareth, a place that seems so insignificant and perhaps a bit too familiar to be the staging ground for the fulfillment of God's promises. Only after Philip insists that Nathanael follow him to Jesus does he realize the truth and the nature of Jesus' call to him. The remarkable similarity between Samuel and Nathanael's stories is that both receivers of the call misunderstand it at first. It's only under the guidance of another person that they realize what the call actually means in all of its fullness. Samuel needs a mentor like Eli to distinguish the voice in the night from the demands of his everyday duties. Nathanael needs the persistent witness of his friend Philip to overcome his doubts, seek out Jesus, and realize that he is who he says he is. God's call is understandable only with the trusted guidance of friends, mentors, and companions. Last year, a journalist named Joshua Wolf Schenck published a book called Powers of Two, in which he observed that our culture tends to overemphasize the idea of the lone, solitary genius. In fact, research shows that most innovation, whether technological or scientific or musical, comes from creative tension between multiple people. As an example of this, Schenck points to Paul McCartney and John Lennon. Both were fine musicians on their own, but their music reached new heights when they worked collaboratively, challenging one another toward a common vision. The sort of spiritual genius that we seek as followers of Jesus Christ works in the same way. Throughout Scripture, we learn that we find God through community, through relationship, through creative tension with the people around us. We know this from experience, too. Tomorrow, our nation will celebrate the work and the mission of Martin Luther King. It's important to remember, though, that Dr. King was initially very reluctant to take a leadership role in the civil rights movement. It was only through the help of mentor figures, such as Bayard Rustin and Howard Thurman, that King realized that God's gifts to him were leading him toward a leadership role in the pursuit of justice. For me, it's sometimes tempting to think of my aspirations for a better prayer life or stronger commitment to God as separate from my life with others. But what if Samuel, after mistaking the call of God for Eli's voice the first time, had kept the second and the third calls to himself? What if Nathanael hadn't followed Philip, instead deciding to remain beneath the comfort of his own fig tree? They very well might have found God, but they would have missed the point of God's invitation. They very well might have thought that they knew God, but they wouldn't have realized their full potential as children of God. They very well might have taken personal solace in their private experiences of God's grace, but they would have missed out on the opportunity to play a part in the redemption of the world. Certainly, there's a crucial time and place for private prayer, for solitude, for encounters with God in the depths of our own hearts. In fact, we need to begin this way, and the root of our life with God is profoundly personal, even hidden. When we enter into the season of Lent next month, we'll begin to focus on this very personal, very private encounter, and necessarily so. But after hearing the call of God in the depths of our hearts, we can fully make sense of God's call only by sharing our experiences, having them challenged, opening our lives of discipleship to the wisdom of mentors and friends. I think the clearest sign that this is how God wants us to make sense of the divine call is the way that God himself fulfills all of his promises, by becoming a human being just like us through Jesus Christ. God created us as beings built for relationship, as creatures who find meaning through connections of love with others. And God's ultimate act of revelation is to join us in the midst of human community. The incarnation of Christ, the miracle we just celebrated in the season of Christmas, is a blueprint for our own lives of discipleship. So, who are the people you can talk to for guidance in your prayer life? Where do you find the creative tension that challenges you to continue to bring your life as a disciple to new heights? When God calls you in the silence of the night or in the depths of your heart, where can you turn to decipher a call that might actually be much more than it seems at first? God calls us not only to be solitary prophets and private disciples, but also to be artistic collaborators who translate and interpret God's call for mission for one another. By supporting one another as God's people, we can stand together and say to our Lord, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Amen.